anything about this this channel, so I'm just speaking so you can ensure that indeed your headsets are set up properly. Patrick will be in here in a moment. And make sure if you're commenting or leaving comments or asking questions as Patrick goes over policy and does your pledge orientation, that you're putting things in the pledge channel. So don't put it in general, because he's not going to be looking there.
Thank you, Ian. And hello, everyone. Welcome to Identity Europa. Welcome to this week's pledge orientation. I'm Patrick Casey, and I apologize for being 2 minutes late. I woke up incredibly sick today for some reason, so. But that is not an excuse. Anyways, so, the purpose of this orientation is to ensure that new members are fully integrated into the organization. So it entails learning about Identity Europa, who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, have a pretty decent idea of how to answer those questions already. Nevertheless, there are some very important nuances that we need to communicate to you that that you might not be aware of. And it's very important for you guys to understand why we do what we do. We're not out just doing this, doing that because we think it might be good. We've been A/B testing everything that we do since the organization started, and so there is kind of a method to the stuff that you see publicly, right? The activism, the networking, media appearances. We've put a lot of thought into this, and it's important for you guys to understand the theory behind what we do. So to begin, what is IE? IE is an identitarian organization. So what does that mean? Identitarianism is about identity above all else. It's a way of seeing the world that emphasizes the role that identity and its many contexts and forms plays in society. Identity is a very contextual thing. One person's identity is quite often defined by having an other, right? So, throughout most of European history, the other was other white people, other Europeans, and there were definitely bitter rivalries and wars and so forth that were fought between white people. But with the dawn of the modern world, colonization, slavery as well, it was clear that there was a far wider world out there, and that white people actually had quite a bit in common. And if you look globally, we absolutely do. So that's where that's basically when the concept of race became more and more significant. So identitarians in Europe tend to focus on ethnicity. There are a few reasons for that. First of all, it's strategic. They get to bypass accusations of supremacism and racism to say, no, we're just for the German people. And they do have an understanding of race. They have the concept of civilizational identity, and that's but they have to be very careful with how they say what they say due to hate speech laws and just political expediency in general. Now here in America, we don't get to do that, right? And that's that's not necessarily an issue, but in America, because it is a multiracial society, the lines of identity are drawn around race. The conflicts back in Europe between a German and a Frenchman, or a German and an Englishman, to the extent that they even exist today, are basically insignificant here in America. If you're a third generation German, are you really going to have issues with, someone who's third generation another ethnic group? No one really cares about that at this point. It's fun to joke about, right? But it's not a real cause for concern. So as identitarians, we are primarily concerned with racial identity in America. We are white people, white Americans, Americans of European descent, and that's what we're focused on. And because we focus on this, the organization doesn't really take a stance on religion, favorite form of economics, or political organization. So people ask, does IE support socialism? And I say no. And they say, well, does IE support libertarianism? I also say no. If you could ask me, does IE support... I would say we basically support most, or rather we are open to most forms of economics that are not, extreme and impractical, right? I don't think you can be, you, could really be a white communist. I think that socialism or communism in the form that Marx and Lenin advocated is something that is supposed to, you are supposed to put your regional identity to the side, basically your ethnic, all of those other identities are supposed to be supplanted by that of your identity as a member of the proletariat. And you could point to examples when perhaps this wasn't, it wasn't always clear cut. You know, there was a certain sense of national pride in the USSR, and obviously Stalin purged members of another ethnic group who are not basically committed to what I think he described as the Russian cause. But anyways, the point is you can favor socialism, libertarianism, almost anything in terms of economics, and still be an identitarian, still be welcome in Identity Europa. You can be, I used to say every religion, but I quickly learned that there are many religions that I would not allow in. Don't think I'd allow in a white Muslim. Haven't had that issue come up, but I don't think that would be something we'd support. Moreover, if you were a Satanist, I would tell you that you should probably find something a little more serious to believe in. I would not allow a Satanist into the organization. But pagans, Christians, atheists, agnostics, people into, I don't know, Julius Evola or something are welcome in the organization. What matters there is just that people are well-adjusted, agreeable, and aren't trying to constantly cause infighting over these issues. So because we share the same historical identity, because we share the same identity, we share the same historical identity, destiny. And that's a big part of why we focus on white identity and why we are focused on issues that uniquely affect people of European heritage in America. You know, the other side can talk about deconstructing whiteness, and they can cite, oh, back during, you know, the Ellis Island era of immigration, the WASPs didn't like the Italians. You know, they can put out all these historical anecdotes that they want. But the simple fact of the matter is that to the powers that be, to progressives, to most non-whites, the difference between an Italian, an Irishman, and a German or a WASP is largely non-existent. They see a white person, a white boy, right? And that's we're all in this together, like it or not. So that is why it's important for us to unite around that. We're all in the same boat. They've put us in the same boat, and of course biologically and historically we have a lot in common. But we've realized that as people of European heritage, particularly Americans of European heritage, that if something doesn't change in this country as a group, we are going to collectively face a fairly dark future. So we're definitely stronger when we're united. You know, we can say, hey, this organization is now only open to evangelicals or to Odinists or something along those lines. And guess what? We'd lose most of the membership. So we're in this together insofar as the left is against things like, things like Christianity and so forth. It's, it's true to some extent, but there are some forms of Christianity the left is absolutely fine with, right? Forms of Christianity that have been co-opted by progressivism. So at the end of the day, it is because we're white. We shouldn't delude ourselves into thinking that they hate us because we're this. No, it's mostly because we're white. So the term identitarian is favored by us because it cuts to the core issue, and that is identity. We've just been talking about that. We do not use the term alt-right. That had a lot of potential. It was quickly run into the ground. It had the potential to be something new, something that would be able to be appealing, attractive, and alluring to millennials, Zoomers, and older generations as well, who were coming to racial consciousness in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to them, to us. And I can tell you briefly, an anecdote from my experience, my ideological journey. Back in 2012, I was mostly there. I was fairly aware of certain racial realities of the Jewish influence plays in all of this. And what ended up happening is I was like, okay, is there anything in the real world I could join? Any people I could meet up with? Is there any like movement I could support? I didn't find AMREN. Didn't find I don't know if MPI was around back then, but. Yeah, the point is that I didn't find anything good. What I found was the National Socialist Movement. And I remember looking at pictures of these guys, and I was like, this is really weird. Like, these people, you know, however well-intentioned they are, like, these aren't people I'd want to be seen with in public. These aren't people I'd feel comfortable leaving my kids around with. I don't have kids, but, you know, hypothetically speaking. So the point is that the alt-right, white nationalism has always existed. Skinhead stuff is basically, by always, I mean for as long as we've been alive. Same with the skinhead stuff, neo-Nazi stuff as well. And it failed to capture the imagination and the dedication and loyalty of well-adjusted people of European heritage in any large number. But when the alt-right came along and I saw Jared Taylor and I saw Henrik Palmgren, and back then I saw Richard Spencer, and I said, these people are reasonable. These people are, you know, fairly educated. Not that you need to have a PhD or anything, but, you know, these are like people that are part of society. They're not part of like a fringe group because they want to be part of the fringe group. And the point is that eventually the alt-right got sucked into the pre-existing white nationalism and neo-Nazism, basically. We saw that with the inclusion of certain groups and individuals that basically made the alt-right a dead brand. And it is. Behind the scenes, even some of the people who still use it, they are, you know, kind of aware that it's kind of lost its power. But that's okay. Politics is largely about branding. It's not all about branding. But that's why we use the term identitarian. Another term that can be used as well is nationalist. I think things like ethno-nationalist or white nationalist are too much in the sense that they just kind of sound weird to the average person. I think if you're going to say if you say you're a nationalist, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a civic. You know, it basically means you support strong borders, you support the preservation of your country's historic demographics, and you were against globalism. That's kind of what it means in the vernacular at this point. That's why, you know, Steve King, who claims to be a civic nationalist, says, I'm a nationalist, right? So in the sense of saying, I am a nationalist, you're basically saying, I'm on the side of populism against globalism. And that's good at this point. It's just not specific enough. So that's why the term identitarian comes in. And I really like how the term identitarian has come along. To a lot of people, they might have reservations about it because it's something new. But guys, the term libertarian was new at one point, and, you know, a bunch of intellectuals popularized it. Now it's basically a household name, and that's what it's going to be as identitarian too. We shouldn't be afraid of new terms. Also, there's quite a bit of utility and strategic value in referring to ourselves as something new, because that's what we basically are saying. We're saying we're not the skinhead stuff. We're not the paramilitary white nationalist stuff. No, we're well-adjusted, well-intentioned men and women of European descent who want a better world for our people. And we're going to speak unapologetically. We're not going to speak through a filter, and we're not going to bow down before Antifa, leftists, minorities, and let them tell us what we can say and what we can believe. So what is our goal? Well, we get asked that quite often, and I like to leave it a bit vague because this is, I think, the best way of looking at it. Our goal is to improve the quality of life for our people, to create a better world for people of European heritage, to improve the standing of people of European heritage here in America. And that can take many forms. And that's why I like leaving it kind of open-ended, because, you know, if you look at how things are now, if I were to ask each one of you, tell me how things could be better, I don't think you would all give the same answer. You could all sure go for 100% white ethno state on the moon or something. And yeah, it would be a very specific way of things, of how things could be better. It would also be the least practical, the least achievable at this point, but I'm not against entertaining grandiose notions from time to time. But the point is that, yeah, we can all agree we're creating a better world. We want to create a better world for our people. Now, you want to talk about specific policies that could be implemented to make the lives of our people better. You could talk about restricting legal immigration to people of European heritage. You could talk about that. Building the wall, national e-verify system, deporting illegals. You know, more funding for border security and so forth. Freedom of association is a big one. That would help mitigate the woes of diversity as it currently stands in America, though we obviously want to kind of return America back to its historical demographics, meaning overwhelmingly white. But we want to do that legally, nonviolently, and humanely, right? And I'm absolutely convinced that can happen. And people that want to get into LARPing about the kind of cruelty that they would engage in when they have power is just utterly stupid. Without getting into the perhaps obvious ethical issues there, you look at, yeah, I mean, you look at historically people who do atrocities, they don't like brag about it. They say that they didn't do it. They're not like, but you have these like idiots on Gab and so forth, and they're like, we're going to load them all up in ships and just send them off by, you know, a gunpoint. And it's just like, what, who do you think you're appealing to or trying to win over with this? It's like, it's not the kind of rhetoric that's really going to lead anywhere. But anyways, we would absolutely support humane, voluntary programs of remigration, of repatriation, where people who are not of European descent, people who aren't Western, can return to their native homelands. Because the simple fact of the matter is, these people, you know, you hear them talk about like the insufferable whiteness of this, that, or something else. And it appears that our whiteness is actually a burden for them to have to deal with. It's an eyesore. They just hate how white our country is. And that's, I mean, you talk to many minorities, and that's kind of the driving force behind promoting diversity. They don't want to be the only brown person in a room. And guess what? I totally understand where they're coming from. But I don't want to be the only white guy in a room, in a city, or a country. So it's at that point that you realize that having different identities quite often means that you're going to have diverging interests. And you know, that's kind of why multiracial societies quite often just become a free-for-all, right? It's just like, all right, who's gonna, you know, you realize that it's just kind of a battle for power. The kind of the civility that I think was definitely a very good thing in American history is largely gone at this point. And that's too bad. But how do we create a better world for our people? How do we actualize some of these visions that we have for the future? Well, we need power. I think we all get that. So power is basically the ability to influence or cause change, right? Influence actions or cause action, influence events or cause events to happen. So you could be whispering in the ear of the king, or you could be the king himself and directing you know, your advisors and your rulers to go out and do what you say. So power's ability to affect change more than anything else. How do you wield power? What is power comprised of, though? Sololinsky famously argued that power is the product of two main things: people and money. And I think that's a really good way to look at it, because you need resources. Those are ultimately forms of capital, though. So I would expand the definition to go, pardon me, to go from just people and money to, which are, you know, basically human capital and financial capital, to include social capital, which is not only just having, you know, select individuals, but having social networks. And that is a huge part of what we are engaged in behind the scenes. You know, we have people meeting up at least once a week in many chapters, quite often more often, to get together to do things like activism, having dinner, seeing movies, just having a good time, having a healthy peer group where you can talk about these things. We don't want people to just be isolated in their rooms on Discord, talking about the things that they hold the most dear. That's not healthy. And even for those people who are in that situation, it's not really their fault. It's the fault of this Orwellian social atmosphere we live in. So, but we need people, we need money, we need social networks, we need property, we need you know, we need to have lawyers, we need to have massive infrastructure. I mean, I see a big part of what we're doing is building infrastructure that is going to be able to advocate for our people. We need to have billions of dollars. We need to have the support of billionaires. We need to be a household name. The SPLC brought in, I think, $50 million last year. I think that's kind of their yearly budget, or how much they bring in. But the point is that why don't we have that? We don't have that because we haven't earned it. We haven't proven to our people yet that we are worthy of $50 million a year. But guess what? If every white person out there gave us a little bit of money, then that would be fairly easy to get. There are a lot of white people in this country, and there are quite a few white people who are against the left. So people ask, oh, where do you see IE in 10 years? Where do you see, you know, what, tell me about the future. My future, it's hard to say where things are going, how things are going to play out. But if and when we are given some kind of opportunity, right? The stars align, and I'm saying that jokingly, and there's something happened in American politics, and we're given a chance, we should have an organization that has, you know, hundreds of thousands of members, that has trained activist teams, that has, you know, lawyers on retainer, just the support of elites and so forth. Because capital centralization is a huge thing. The reason the SPLC and the ADL and all of these other terrible organizations are able to function effectively is because they get a lot of capital in one place, and then when they can direct it at the best or the perceived best causes. And once they, you know, obviously having all that capital and directing it in one place is very powerful. And it's unfortunate that that is the case for them, but it's basically up to us to do that. So how do we get capital? We need capital. Capital is basically the resources that allow you to affect change, and affecting changes, as we talked about a few minutes ago, is power. Well, activism is the main way that we attract it. When we go out and we create visual displays of defiance against globalism, progressivism, and every other ism that is threatening our people, we are sending a message to the world. We're saying that, hey, you're against these things. We're the people you need to support. We're the people that are putting ourselves out there. We are risking getting doxxed. We are risking getting attacked by psychotic leftists. And that we are more than willing to risk far more than that to achieve our ends, to create a better world for our people. And I sometimes see people talking on Twitter and elsewhere as if, you know, activism is some kind of nebulous thing. It's hard to determine whether or not activism actually works. And that's not the case. It's not the case at all. Every time we do a large action, we see an influx of applications and donations. And the people who are already giving us money, they're giving us money primarily because they like the activism and they want to see more of it. So that's that is kind of our reason for being. That is what we're here to do. But we also do community service too. I think you could probably lump that in with activism. But then the second main component of our operations is networking. We talked about that a few minutes ago. So networking refers to building social capital. Networking refers to building social capital, the local meetup, right? We also have national, regional level events where people travel all over the country, come out to do activism, to engage in fraternal activity, and just to enjoy each other's company. I mean, when you're at one of these Airbnbs, when there's 50 to 60, if not more, people in the same place, it's high energy. It's a lot of fun. And at our national conference last year, we had upwards of 150. So it's when you have that many people together in one place, it's just fantastic. The energy is through the roof, and that's the kind of thing that keeps me going. We did that over the last weekend. We went out to Chicago, demonstrated outside of Mayor Rahm Emanuel's office at City Hall, and it was fantastic. And then we went back to a private venue to have, you know, somewhere around 70 people get together, and we gave speeches. Nick Fuentes, Jared Taylor, others were there. So it was a good time. So those are the kinds of things that we do pretty often. We actually have something coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend. And then we have the conference coming up in May. So many good things on the horizon. So one more thing about networking is that a lot of people join the organization and they can't do activism, or at least they're uncomfortable doing it. That's okay. It's important to note, though, that in 2018, less than 5 people were doxxed. And they were basically all doxxed as a result of being careless on social media, posting things under their real name, liking things under their real name, and so forth. And that's how people get doxxed more often than not. It's not someone rats you out. It's not someone sees your face in a crowd. Although that did happen in Charlottesville, but that was definitely an anomaly. You had basically the whole world looking at pictures of these marchers. So basically a lot of people can't do activism, though. Again, we've proven that you can show your face and go out there and be a face in a crowd and you probably won't get doxxed. There's no guarantee, but that didn't happen in 2018. I know very few instances when that does happen. The point is a lot of people can't or won't do activism. That's okay. There's no requirement. People have quite a bit to offer behind the scenes as well. We need to be able to keep these people. We need to find something to offer. That's why the local meetup is very important. So just briefly going through the structure of Identity Europa. And I apologize for my voice being as it is. Hopefully it's not too terrible, but there's not much I can do about it. So you have your regional coordinator. Your regional coordinator is in charge of your region, which could be a city, it could be a state. You have staff coordinators. These are people. One second. Yeah, so staff coordinators are responsible for things like accounting and social media posting and so forth. So we have quite a people who are coordinators for those functions. We have our moderators. Please be sure to be respectful to the moderators. We'll talk about the server rules in a little bit, but it is something we take seriously. We have the interviewers, with whom you're familiar. We have the advisory council, which consists of me, Matt, Ian, Identity Now, Great American, and Will K. It is not a shadowy board of you know, mysterious people ruling you from behind the shadows. These are people you'll meet in person in your local meetups, at national level events, and so forth. So it's definitely we're very open. We also have an open door policy. So if you ever need anything, if you have any concerns, please come to me. Please come to me. You can message anyone on this server. There's no guarantee as to when they'll respond. I generally try to get back to people fairly quickly, but there's no harm in reminding me if I forget to respond after a day or two. Then I'm the executive director. Formerly, I was the CEO. We thought that title was a bit too, it was too corporate, right? CEO, that's something perhaps left to the guy in charge of Best Buy, not Identity Europa. So executive director, it was changed. All right, next we're going to go over the membership guidelines. I want you to open up the guidebook channel. That is the seventh from the top. So there's quite a bit in here. Eventually there will be one document that you will open and read. But for now, the two that you need to read, and we're not going to go over both. The first is how we poster. I will briefly talk about that. You need to read this because before you put up a single poster, and you should be putting up posters and flyers. It's kind of the bread and butter of our activism, and people cite seeing flyers on their application. So it does work. People apply because they saw the flyers. And yeah, and so if you're not doing it as specified in here, we might not be able to use your pictures. You might not do it correctly. And you might get yourself in trouble. We don't want you guys getting vandalism charges. And as always, it's very good to look up the local laws and ordinances in wherever you live to determine whether or not you're it's okay to flyer in a certain way. But I want you to open up the membership guidelines, and we are going to be going through these. The guidelines contain basically the main expectations we have of you as members. And we need to have rules. We need to have standards. Part of the reason why the broader all right didn't really work out is because there weren't standards. People could just do whatever they wanted, and it was kind of a screw you, Dad attitude to all of that. But I think it's obvious to everyone that there need to be rules. People need to be held to rules, not just in Identity Europa, but also in the workplace, in your family life, in just society in general. There are good ways of doing things. There are bad ways of doing things, right? From a consequentialist perspective, we should be doing things that lead to good results. That's basically how we arrive at these guidelines is just thinking about cause and effect and making sure that we maximize the people who are behaving in ways that lead to harmonious and fruitful results rather than destructive and discordant. So as a member of Identity Europa, one, you will read the guidebook and adhere to all rules and requirements outlined therein. That refers to the guidebook channel. Read everything in there, in particular the last two. Two, you will read, understand, and follow the server rules. So let's briefly go through these. I'm not going to read them through all of them, but you are all required to read these. That is the second channel from the top. So, things not to do in the server. Don't post anything Hitler-related. That's not what we're about, and we don't want anyone screen-capping anything in the server and making us look bad. So no illegal activity. That is probably the biggest one. Obviously, I probably shouldn't have to tell you this, but of course I will. We're not interested in anything illegal or violent. So saying, oh, we should go beat up Antifa. Oh, we should do this, that. I'm not going to get into all of the various absurd and unwanted hypotheticals we could entertain. But the point is that legal activity is something that we cannot be engaged in. the main issue here is not people actually suggesting that, because most people who made it this far realize it's a dumb thing to do. It's the issue is people joking about it. But guys, look, in the court of law, saying I was just doing an irony or something, I was just being ironic, Your Honor, it does not count. Does not count. All these people in Charlottesville who thought they were real edgy when they were, you know, the Charlottesville Discord server, and these are people outside of IE, when they were making jokes about running over protesters, well, guess what? They see their Discord, you know, their Discord gets subpoenaed, and, you know, they get called into, you know, to be deposed. They have to go through a deposition. Guess what? You're doxxed at that point. So, in the spirit of not saying indefensible and stupid things, we cannot even joke about violence, and we take that very seriously. You know, if you want to work on an edgy comedy routine, you can do it elsewhere. Yeah, so for religion, if it gets heated, we'll tell you guys to find something else to talk about. That applies to any topic that gets out of hand. It's important people to stay calm and collected. Those are traits that we absolutely value in this organization, particularly in leadership. So people that come in think they're cool for being hotheads and you know, throwing temper tantrums. It might make you feel powerful, but you're just behaving like a big baby at the end of the day. And I've seen countless relationships and projects destroyed because of anger, because of egotism, and because people just can't, you know, people take things personally. So those are all unskillful ways of behaving, and those are things that we do not permit on the server. So extremism, so this basically means no advocating like violent revolution, no advocating national socialism. That's basically, I mean, that basically summarizes that. Coming into the server saying we need total fascism now, it's going to make you look a little weird. So just kind of keep it, you know, we're just not an extremist organization in that sense. Now, are we using the SPLC's definition of extremism? No, I shouldn't have to say that. But it's basically, you know, if you're an Identity Europa, you know what I'm talking about, right? But again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And we'll do a Q&A session at the end of this, probably in around half an hour, we'll do a Q&A. So hold your questions until then, please. So no weapons. Don't post anything with weapons. Don't screenshot anything on the server. Don't talk about anything going on the server to people outside. Vulgar language. Keep in mind this is a mixed space. You're in mixed company. There are wives and mothers here. So coming in talking about, I don't know, guy talk, locker room talk, if you're going to do that, make sure you're around only men. And online, chances are you're not. Interracial ethnic conflict. So just, you know, keep in mind that people like jokes like Italians aren't white, Greeks aren't white, Irish aren't white. You might think it's funny, but, you know, if you see like an Italian guy in the server and you say, hey, you're not white, ha ha, and you've never met him, like this person's just going to be like, who, you know, it's just one of those things that you don't want to do, right? If you have rapport with someone, you've got a good friend who's Italian, and that's kind of a source of comedy for you guys, sure, right? I mean, I'm Irish. People I know personally in person make those jokes, and it's funny, and I give it back sometimes. But you just have to get it. I mean, the bigger issue with this is that people need to realize, don't expect that you're not friends with everyone in this organization. You have the potential to be, and most people are going to be really, really friendly to you. But with that said, don't get too comfortable, right? If you're at a meetup and, you know, you're just like, man, I love all of these people. Well, keep in mind, you might not know them that well. So, like, you know, putting one of them in a headlock as a joke might be seen as like, you know, who's this guy? Why is he putting me in a headlock? So, we've had that happen before. It's just, you know, it's, I mean, look, when you meet people in IE, you feel like you've known them for a while. You're just totally on the same page. And not just in terms of politics. I talked about that. We don't talk about politics that often in person. I mean, from time to time we do, but, you know, it's just like having a group of friends. Everyone's well adjusted, laid back, on the same wavelength, not taking things personally, intelligent. So you're able to talk about all kinds of subjects. But yes, so as a result of that, sometimes people do get too comfortable, and it's important to just keep in mind you might not know someone too well. It applies to online too. So I want you guys to read through all of those server rules on your own sometime before the end of the week. 3. You'll not engage in any gestures, use any language, or display any paraphernalia related to the Third Reich. Right, so if you were under the impression that identitarianism was just a fancy way of saying national socialism, you're in the wrong place. Sorry. Anything neo-Nazi in America will never work. That was, you know, something like 15 years of another country's history. Rehabilitating that is not our job. It's not our job. It's not something we're concerned with. You know, there are definitely two sides to things. There's definitely, you know, the narrative peddled by the mainstream academic system and you know, media and so forth is obviously very hyperbolic and, and out of touch with reality, right? But I think the truth lies somewhere in between. Plenty of people who, you know, get quote unquote red pill just arrive at the very erroneous conclusion that Hitler did nothing wrong, and that's just wrong. So we're not interested in disavowing and this, that, and the other, but like if you're in here thinking like we need national socialism, go join the NSM. This is not the place for you. It's never going to work in America, and you should be advised that who is so eager and ardent with regard to linking any form of white identity to national socialism, to neo-Nazism. It's the other side. It's the powers that be. It absolutely is. So if they see it as being in their best interest, perhaps it is our best interest to not go along with that. Now we'll talk about the optics stuff a little towards the end and how that relates to this. I know that, you know, our position is not that we're going to win over the media and make them like us. So I don't want you guys to think that's our position here. But basically, anything neo-Nazi, there's so many white people out there that want a white country, don't want their kids turned into trannies, don't want to be discriminated against for being white, or against black crime. But like, do these people want to be Hitler worshippers? No. Just always going to be a very fringe thing. So, the spirit of not being fringe, that is what we're against. And by against, I mean this organization does not promote it. You can have whatever opinion you want on World War II. Sure, I'm not going to be like interrogating you to make sure you see things the same way I do. But yeah, if like you show up to a meetup and you're just like, oh God, I love Hitler, people are just going to be like, oh, okay, dude, well, all right. It's just going to make you look a little weird. And again, so on the server, nothing like that. We don't want anybody, you know, heaven forbid someone infiltrate the server. We don't want them we're just posting like Hitler memes or something. Man. Come on. 4, you will consume alcohol responsibly, particularly at IE events. So drink in moderation at IE stuff. You can have a good time. People go out to bars, people drink at the Airbnbs. It's totally fine, but we do not want to babysit you. We do not want you throwing up on, you know, someone's bed. We do not want you doing, you know, drunk driving. We have to represent the best among our people. And look, I know there's people are young. Everyone's kind of gotten too drunk, most likely at some point in their lives. Some learn the lessons, others don't. But the point is that, yeah, we can't have a culture that just emphasizes drunkenness and heedlessness. It's just going to be a great way for us to destroy everything we've worked for. So instead, at meetup, having a good time, you know, general fitness, martial arts, reading, activism, healthy community, right? Trying to start fringe and so forth. So keep that in mind, you know, that's not the time to test your limits. I understand, like, you know, people are in frats in college and they like, you know, going wild with drinking, but this isn't the place for that. 5, because ours is a co-ed organization, you will interact with any members of the opposite sex in a respectable manner. I will do it too, but I'm reading the guideline to you. So, yeah, you're a mixed company. We've got somewhere between 50 and 100 women, probably closer to 60 or 70, I think, the exact number. But, yeah, so first of all, be respectful. You don't have to, I mean, certainly shouldn't be a white knight or anything over the top. But, yeah, the point is that, yeah, there's a lot of, like, anti-woman stuff in the broader dissent, right, that is, I think, is being peddled by people who are unmarried, don't have kids, and think that they will never happen. So there's a lot of bitterness out there, and we don't want our positions on anything to be rooted in bitterness, right? We want to restore harmonious sexual relations between the sexes. And so does that involve women having a more nurturing, supportive role? Sure. Does that mean saying any woman with a job is a whore or something? I mean, I'm just parroting things I've seen on like Twitter from weirdos, but no, obviously that's really out of line. You know, harassing a woman for not having had kids because by the age of 25 or something is just it's not cool. It's not cool. We want to encourage people positively and caringly to start families and have good lives. Also, so this you know, given that there are men and women in the organization, it's just a given that there will be romantic relationships flowering as a result of the networking that we facilitate. We have facilitated one engagement that I'm sure will lead to marriage, fairly recent though, and one marriage. And that marriage has produced a beautiful baby boy. And if we're doing that, then that alone is phenomenal. And we want to see more of that. I'd like for, you know, everyone in Identity Europa, obviously, at some point, to get married and have kids. Now, there are older people who have kind of missed the boat on some of this stuff. That's fine. They're still welcome. There's no point. You know, we want to be respectful and you know, compassionate towards all of our members. And, you know, bashing people for like, oh, you're 55 and you haven't had kids. You're worth. No, that's not cool. The point is that, yeah, if you're in this organization to sleep around, it'll become apparent pretty early on, and you'll probably be asked to leave. It's only happened once or twice. It happened with girls. But, you know, as there are more and more girls in the organization, the opportunity for some guy to come and go and try to sleep with as many IU women as possible comes along. And, look, that's just not what we're about. It's we want to be practicing what we preach. If we're about white people, the future of our people, then we need to be forming healthy families and having kids and kind of pursuing it that way. Yeah, so if you're interested in another member, go for it. If you get shot down and you start sulking and being bitter, it's just going to be really obvious to everyone. And that kind of bad blood over some, you know, someone, if someone turns you down nicely, that doesn't make them a bad person, right? Just because they made you feel bad feelings, that doesn't make them bad. They're under no obligation to do that. So just keep that in mind. I've only seen this happen once, but it led to some real sour grapes that kind of spoiled things for everyone involved. So just keep that in mind. Also, again, IE spaces are mixed company. Do not talk. I mean, don't talk about vulgar things around. I mean, it goes for both men and women. Ladies, some things are not ladylike to discuss around men. And men, some things are not, I guess, gentlemanly to discuss around women. So if you have any doubt as to the kind of things I'm talking about, you can ask me, but I think you probably get it. 6, when representing Identity Europa, you dress appropriately and will under no circumstances wear masks, military uniforms, or other bizarre attire. So this is straightforward. We're not a paramilitary organization. You know, you get people that listen to a bunch of podcasts and they're like, I'm a warrior for the white race. And they want to show up to meetups and conferences in like combat boots and camouflage. And it's really goofy. We have distinguished military veterans in this organization. They're the ones that, you know, are the least inclined to do that. So when they see civilians doing that, it's just incredibly goofy, guys. Don't do that. We are well-adjusted people of European heritage. We're part of society. We want to appear attractive and appealing. And the way we do that is by not playing into stereotypes and by looking like people that the average well-adjusted person would want to be around. So does that mean you have to wear a suit all the time? No, and in fact, don't wear a suit all the time. Going out to put up flyers, you don't need to wear a suit. I would say dress for the occasion. If you're going to a conference, you're going to a speaking engagement, you know, coat and tie. You can't go wrong with that. If you're going to go out and do activism, you can wear a tie too. You can wear a button, but you know, in that case, business casual, smart casual, is fine. If you're going to wear jeans and a t-shirt when you go to activism, make sure it fits well, make sure it's nice. You know, don't wear like a ripped up Metallica shirt and I don't know, dirty jeans or something. So just a lot of it's contextual, but you know, the idea that you have to always be wearing like Brooks Brothers or something is it's absurd. That's not what we're about, and we don't spend that much time thinking about like optics. It's kind of a personal thing. It's like, yeah, just dress like tastefully, normally, dress for the occasion. And if you ever have any doubts as to how you should dress beyond this guide, feel free to reach out to whoever's organizing the action. Feel free to reach out to your coordinator. 7. You accept that religious differences exist within the organization. You will behave respectfully towards IU members of other faiths than your own. So that's pretty straightforward. We've been over that. Just don't cause infighting. Don't take things personally. Don't say cruel things. You know, if someone else is harassing you over your religion, let your coordinator know. That person's out of line. How you lose, you know, I mean, just in general, if someone's treating you poorly, if someone is totally out of line, be the bigger man, turn the other cheek, so to speak. And by that, I mean, just don't let them get to you. And then we'll let someone know and we'll handle it. The worst situations are the ones in which someone does something wrong and then the other person responds by doing something wrong. Because it's like, okay, now I have to, you know, deal with both two people who have screwed up and the situation becomes less clear cut. I mean, this is just kind of a life lesson in general. If someone's victimizing you, if someone's treating you like crap and you just kind of get into the mud with them, then you end up saying something worse, right? Doing something worse, then you're going to lose a lot of your perceived legitimacy and righteousness in that situation. 8, you will respect the authority of your regional coordinator, work with him rather than against or around him when it comes to planning activism and community events. I would love for all of you to go to your coordinator and say, I want to help out. Tell me what I can do with the local chapter. Tell me what I can do in terms of activism, organizing, whatever else. And but you need to work with him rather than against or around him. Don't plan events without telling your coordinator. You need to work with him. So the regional coordinator has the final sign off on everything that happens in your region. 9, you'll safeguard not only your own personal identity, but that of other IE members. Pretty straightforward. If you get doxxed, chances are, or will be, because you were sloppy. Be careful of anywhere where your real name is online, there should be absolutely nothing dissident politically. Even if you think liking, the Red Elephants or Nick Fuentes is, oh, he's just a Trump supporter. No, people aren't going to see it that way. Right, and it takes very little to gin up a mob for a witch hunt, and I don't want you guys falling victim to that. Same thing with your face. Do you need to post your face online? In a political context, you probably shouldn't. Now, with that said, when you're going out and doing activism, that's a little different, but having a face to tie to a social media account is something to. Moreover, it's your responsibility to ensure that your actions don't result in the doxing of another IE member. So yeah, be very, very, very careful with any pictures you have of IE people. And guys, it's totally okay to say, hey, I don't want a picture taken of me. Or hey, can you delete that picture you just took? And so forth. But you don't want to be responsible for doxing someone else. You'll feel terrible. As part of this, do not under any circumstances assume that someone is okay with having their name be out there. Someone applies under their real name and they send you their faculty page for here's my normie social media. Don't go out and say, hey, this person applied to IE. Don't do it. Don't say, hey, this person's in IE. No. Never assume when it comes to OPSEC. Always ask. Always verify. 10, you will not engage in violence, particularly during activism. We're a nonviolent organization. If we engage in violence, the FBI is going to own us. And that's pretty straightforward. They're going to own you. And we've seen that happen with other groups. So I don't think that violence actually helps our cause at all at this point. The idea we're just going to fist fight our way to, a better world is just not the case. It's not the case. Now, self-defense is reserved for extreme situations. Someone comes up to shove you, don't punch them in the face. You're going to be involved in a very lengthy legal and destructive legal process, and you will get doxxed as a result. So you want to stay out of court. I mean, this is kind of in general, guys, in life in general too. Someone could come up and drunkenly slap you in the face. If you knock him out and he hits his head and gets some kind of injury, there's a good chance he'll just – you'll be the one who gets in trouble. Self-defense stuff isn't as clear-cut as you think. A lot of it depends on the state and so forth. But the point is you don't want to be in the court of law, particularly someone who has is trying to maintain their anonymity in OPSEC, in relation to these views. You just don't want to do it, and we are going to keep you out of that. So 11, you will refrain from carrying weapons, particularly guns and knives, during activism. Yeah. You don't need guns or knives to do IE activism. We're not going to take you to the hood to go, pass out flyers to ghetto people for, hours on end, right? That would be reckless. We're not going to go, some operations, some active, activism things, events rather might be done in, a more left-wing area. In that case, you have to be extra careful. But if you shoot or stab someone in this, it probably doesn't matter what the context was. You'll probably they'll never give us the benefit of the doubt. So we don't want that to happen. If you don't feel safe leaving the house or doing anything without weapon or a gun, any kind of weapon, then just don't do activism. It's okay. There are other people who are more than willing to do it. And again, it's not a requirement. 12, you will only engage in legal activism. Everything we do has to be legal. If it is illegal, again, the feds are going to come in and destroy us. And they're looking for excuses. But the reason why we've continued to stay above water, and not only that, but to grow in light of Charlottesville, is largely because we've made it very clear. We are legal. We are not violent. We're not committing crimes. We're not interested in violence. So just keep that in mind. 13, you will constantly strive for self-improvement. Straightforward stuff. I want to see everyone bettering themselves. The better you are as an individual, the better you asset you will be to the cause. And just think of human greatness historically. Think of how much one highly developed, highly intelligent, highly skilled individual can do. They can have massive effects, right? So I want all of you reading on you know, self-betterment, improving yourself, making sure you have more money, better relationships, you're smarter, you're in better shape. The physical stuff's pretty important too. If you're not, if you don't have an exercise routine, you absolutely need to do that. I've kicked people out of the organization for being overweight, and I will continue to do it if needed. 14, you understand that membership in Identity Europa is exclusive with that of other similar organizations. You will therefore only participate in IE activism. So I don't know how many other groups there are doing activism out there and they're just in it right, but basically we want to do what we do the best. We don't have to have hostility or bad blood towards other groups, but we kind of are doing things on our own. And yeah, so just when it comes to this, just ask your coordinator if you can do something. Something like, you know, can I go hold up signs with TPUSA? Yeah, if you want to do that, you can. You know, could you, if, say, TWP were still around, could you go and do stuff with TWP? No. So when in doubt, just ask. You represent Identity Europa. Okay, so real quick. So on 14, this also refers to membership, right, with other organizations. First, activism and membership. So, yeah, you can't join another one of these organizations as well. But, again, Students for Trump, local bird watching club, these things are fine. But if it's, you know, political and dissident, political in nature, you should check with your coordinator first. 15, you represent Identity Europa, this identitarianism, in a positive manner. Yeah, so just any advocacy of or participation in any form of supremacy, violence, illegal activity, or otherwise ethically suspect behavior is prohibited, right? You got to keep in mind, everywhere you go, you're representing IE, as long as you're in IE. If you go off and do something crazy and it turns out that you're an IE, that's going to make us look bad. If you go to Amran and you drink too much and you throw up on Jared Taylor's shoes and you're an IE, well, guess what? Jared Taylor's going to send me an email saying, Mr. Casey, one of your guys threw up on my shoes and I'm going to look like a real idiot. So that, you know, despite the specificity of that example, it's never happened and I don't want it to. So just keep that in mind. When you're at these events, even when you're not, you're representing IE. You need to hold yourself to a high standard. All right, that concludes the guidelines. I'm going to go over a few things, and then we'll go over to the Q&A in 5 to 10 minutes here. So what can you do now? Well, what you need to do is I want you to be as active as possible. Showing up is the most important thing. Show up to every event that you can. It'll be worth it. It's okay to just treat this organization, treat membership herein as you know, that of say, the NRA. You pay a certain amount per month, you're an NRA member. There you go. You don't do anything. But within this organization, we definitely encourage that. That's okay. That's okay. If you're going to treat this just as kind of like a membership thing where you don't show up and so forth, tell your coordinator so he knows that if you're not showing up to events, it's not because he's doing something wrong. But guys, showing up to meetups is the best thing that you can do. You know, don't assume that people are going to be there. Don't assume it's going to be a great meetup if you don't show up. Your way of thinking, the way I think when I drive 2 hours to my closest meetup once a week is, and that's 2 hours each way, is if I don't show up, no one else is. If I don't show up, it's going to be a small, lame meetup, and I need to be there. And that's not because I'm awesome or something like that. And this is what I was thinking before I took over. It's basically, you know, don't assume that there's going to be a huge group, because other people are going to be thinking it too. We need everyone thinking, I need to be there. So show up to meetups, show up to community, show up to activism, and show up to the national level events, right? We've got something going on in Utah the weekend of February the 8th. We have the conference, our national conference on in March. There's going to be AMREN in May. I'm going to be speaking there. We're going to have a lot of IE people. It's going to be a great time. We recruited a lot of great people from, including a few current coordinators from AMREN last year. So beyond that, I want you to go to your coordinator and ask him what you can do to help, and he will delegate things to you. If you want to distinguish yourself as someone who's actually interested in making things better for our people, then you should do that. Have initiative, be a self-starter. And if you don't have that quality as a person, now's a great time to develop it, because that's one of the best ways to rise up in any endeavor that you're working in your job, right? You might be unaware of the fact that maybe everyone thinks that you're just kind of, you know, you're not the kind of person who has the quality of leadership, right? Quite often, making a lot of money entails being a leader to some extent. So have initiative, have drive. If you don't have that now, now's a great time to develop it. But I want you all to be very conscious of how your actions, however small, affect the whole, right? So look at it this way. You rarely, in football, let's go with chess. In chess, you don't win because you move one piece, right? You can't win on the first move. It's just impossible. You can win in a few moves, doing some kind of, you know, cheesy blitz strategy. But the point is that you have to do a number of good moves. Even if you're doing a move that doesn't take a piece, you're still setting yourself up for victory. And that's what we're doing. Every time we put up a flyer, every time you put up a flyer, every time you show up to an event, every time you do something that furthers the growth of this organization and this movement more broadly, you are ensuring that we take one step further to the finish line. Because again, we need power. How do we get power? Capital. How do we get capital? Activism and networking. So you can help us out with that. Put up flyers. You're absolutely going to, you will bring in people with from the flyers that we put up. Absolutely. And it's just important for you. The reason I'm telling you this is that it's important for you to see how your actions matter. We don't want people getting black belt. We want people seeing and understanding and consciously accepting the fact that there are things that you can do to push back against globalism. We don't have billions of dollars, at least not yet, but we're punching well above our weight class, nonviolently, that is. And it's just really important for you guys to understand that your actions matter. Because if you think, oh, I can't do anything, oh, it's nothing I do, why flyer, you know, then you're not going to do anything, and you're going to grow despondent, and you're going to be useless to your people, right? Do you want to look your kids in the eye in 20 years and say, I did nothing. I did nothing. No, you don't. That's why you're here. You're here because you understand that if we don't do something, nothing is going to change. That is becoming clearer than ever now with the dreadful state of the Trump administration. I won't go on too big of a tangent there, but this is kind of waking people up to the fact that the dissident right is absolutely vital. We are building networks of some of the most intelligent, dedicated, high-quality people in America, among our people. You know, I've said I've met some of the best and the worst people in the dissident right in my life. And the best of those are the ones who are here for the right reasons. They're like, yeah, you know, they're able to undo the conditioning. They're able to exit the matrix, so to speak. And they say, hey, I've got to do something about that. I have to make a sacrifice. That's heroic. You are taking a sacrifice by joining this organization. Now, again, the doxing stuff is fairly rare, but it does take a certain degree of idealism to say, I am going to, you know, sacrifice my time, energy, and money to fight for the cause. And that is absolutely fantastic that we have people who are willing to do that. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, the people who are IIs. Some of the worst I've met, these are people because they're here because it's bad. They're here because it's bad. And I think Adam Waffen is the best. I don't consider them part of our movement or anything. They're deranged lunatics. But they're a perfect example of people who are here for the wrong reasons. Attraction to the bad, attraction to the vulgar, attraction to that which is perceived to be wrong is kind of, you know, our values were inverted, right? And we're trying to invert them, sure. But there is something very, very wrong about, you got to be very careful when you say what is right is actually wrong and what is wrong is actually right. Because in our case, we're correct. Love of our people and advocacy for our people, that used to be good, then it was inverted, and we're trying to invert it again, or revert it, I guess, and to say, no, it's actually good. But the issue is you have a lot of people who are attracted to things that, again, are bad or wrong, and that is a very dark road to go down. You're getting off on transgression, and a little transgression to your news farm. That's your primary motivating factor. You see what happens with Adam often. You had people in their server posting about child pornography, posting about Satanism, and I guess at some point neo-Nazism just doesn't cut it. It's not edgy enough. So the point is that, yeah, there are a lot of people in this who come to right-wing views for the wrong reasons, and we need to stay well away from them. These people go off the deep end, and I'm not just referring to Adam often. There are plenty of other people in the, you know, your average fashy goy meetup who are just, you know, have serious issues that they should sort out before trying to save the world. I mean, it's kind of cliche at this point, but what Jordan Peterson says with cleaning your room before, at least before you do anything else, is absolutely important. Now, if your room's fairly clean, you can continue to clean it as you're working in IE. And in fact, I think IE facilitates quite a bit of room cleaning. People have definitely improved themselves quite a bit in this organization. And that's, you know, I think that's the 14th guideline. That's exactly what we're going for. So I want to say a few things real quick, and then we'll go into the Q&A. First of all, GOP entryism isn't one of our main things. I had a member recently who thought that that was the case. There are a lot of people – well, there aren't many. There are very few people on Twitter and so forth who are just have a grudge against us for petty reasons, and they're trying to say that our whole goal is supporting the GOP. It's not the case. There was a time in early 2018 where I was more open to that kind of stuff. And look, I think it's good for us to run in Republican circles to recruit. We've actually had success with that, to spread identitarian ideas. Sure, we want to be influencing things, bringing people in. But our main strategy is not trying to take over the GOP. If people get involved in politics, they generally are doing it on its own. And I'm apprehensive about that strategy being successful. We need to build our own infrastructure, right? We need to build our own version of the SPLC, right? Maybe it's going to be a hybrid of the SPLC and something else, because we're not just a legal thing, but we need dissident infrastructure, and that's our role to play in this. So moving on to the question of optics. Optics, it's, you know, the optics thing really just, look, the way you present is going to attract certain people. And again, we want those well-adjusted people. We want those people here for the right reasons. We don't want misfits. We don't want people that are just unable to relate to society. I mean, I have sympathy for these people, but those people have a lot of problems, guys. And those are the ones that want to suit up and wear the stall helms and march down the street giving salute. It's just goofy. It is basically a cult. It is something that has no real world, no relation to America, no relation to society. It is something anachronistic and alien and outlandish. And our people see it that way. They don't want to join some weird cult. They want a white country. Many of them do. And so look, yeah, the idea that we should just be working with anyone and everyone. No, if we have a very Big Ten approach, we will scare away the people we need, because the well-adjusted people don't want to be around people who are doing drugs, people who are, just frankly poorly adjusted, poorly socialized, people you wouldn't feel comfortable introducing your girlfriend to or leaving around your kids, right? And there are so many people that have joined this organization because we took a different path after I took over. Not just because of me, everyone else in my leadership's on board. But the point is that every now and then there's this kind of misplaced sentiment where people say, oh, we should just invite anyone and everyone in as long as they're pro-white. No, guys, that's not the right way to do that. We've tried that and it fails, because you're not going to get the well-adjusted white people out there who just want a better world for our people. Those people are willing to contribute when it's not exciting, when it's not transgressive. You know, we absolutely love going out and doing activism where we shout our views to the world and we're defiant, and it's high energy. It's, if you haven't done it, you should do it at least once. It's a massive adrenaline rush. You don't really understand it until, you know, the night before and then the morning of, and you're just like, wow, we're going to go out and do this. But the point is, with all of that, is that, you know, you need, more often than not, you need people who are going to fill out paperwork and do a lot of boring stuff behind the scenes. It needs to be exciting from time to time, but, you know, a lot of the stuff needed to run an organization is boring. That's just a simple fact of the matter. Most of my contributions to this organization consist of me sitting in my living room on the computer. I wish I could do demonstrations every day. It's just not how it is. But, but beyond that, so look, the optics thing, we need to win over well-adjusted white people. If you allow the misfits in, you allow the people who just aren't the most well-adjusted, you're going to scare away. They're far more well-adjusted people than misfits. So that's how it is. Now, is everyone outside of IE a misfit? Absolutely not. No, I'm on good terms with most, though not all, almost everyone in the broader dissident right. And that's not because I have no interest in drama. I have no use for it. Peter Brimlow, Jared Taylor, Amren, Red Ice, even the TRS guys and others, I'm on good terms with them. You know, some of the stuff that those respective groups do in terms of their messaging and so forth isn't good for us. We have our own niche, but there's no use to having, you know, being hostile and so forth. But again, I just want you guys to understand, optics is about appealing to our potentially sympathetic audience. It is about appealing to people we want to recruit, and that's white people who recognize that their country is being taken from them. It's not about making the media like us. It's not about making the establishment like us. It's not about making leftists like us. People still accuse us of that, and it just goes to show that they don't comprehend where we're coming from. And beyond that, optics and presentation and messaging, really, it's just, again, the bigger thing is that it's a litmus test, or rather, it's a heuristic to determine who the well-adjusted people are who are here for the right reasons, and who the poorly adjusted people are who are here for the wrong reasons. And with that, I will leave you with a call to action. Get involved in your chapter. Find out the next meetup. Go there. If there isn't one, tell your coordinator you want to plan one. Work with them. But again, show some initiative. If you don't have that quality in yourself, if you're not someone who has drive for this, which is arguably the most important thing happening, not that you're, you know, historically, not, you know, to you, maybe your job is, and I totally get that. But point is that if you're not going to have initiative to save your people, you're really going to have it in other areas of your life. So just something to consider. But thank you all for showing up. Thank you all for joining this organization. I'm looking forward to speaking with you all, meeting with you all at some point in the near future. And with that, I will turn it over to a Q&A. Please ask your questions in the Pledge Hall channel, the text channel. You can unmute your mic and do that as well. But make sure to tag me if you do write it out over text. Not seeing any questions. That is well and good. I think I will take that as a sign that I've been so thorough in my orientation that every question each one of you had has been answered. So we'll go with that. But again, I'll give you guys a minute or two. If something comes to mind, please let me know. But if it doesn't, there's no need to keep you guys around. We certainly don't want to sit in silence. So. Rod Wolf, when does our chapter coordinator contact us? It should be pretty soon. You should be hearing from your coordinator fairly soon. And I see that you're in Virginia, which is great because that's the state that I am in as well. And Matt, my right-hand man, my chief of staff, is too. Got a good chapter out here. Yeah, Nova's a great place to be, absolutely. We do events with Jared Taylor, Roger Devlin. We've got a pretty good group. So yeah, you'll be hearing from Matt in Virginia. And if he doesn't message you, he'll be hearing from me. But I'm sure that he does a good job of staying on top of these things. So I should have said this earlier, and I apologize for that. Given that you've all completed new member orientation, you just have to go through a secondary interview and obviously make sure you've paid your dues, and then you will be a full member. And if that doesn't happen after you do your secondary interview, if you've already done it, and you know within 24 hours you are made a full member, let your coordinator know, and he'll sort that out. Yeah, I've got a number of people in this chat right now. The DC area. I've got Nate, who's Maryland. Tide, who's in Virginia. So good stuff. And that's actually, we're going to be setting up our national headquarters within an hour of DC. A little less than that, we're looking at. We're going to have a fairly big, relatively big house, and it'll be a great place to meet and do events and so forth. So I'm really excited for it. Great place to work too. We've seen dissident rights. HQs that turned into, places for all kinds of debauchery, and that's not, we've seen how that ends up. So, okay, one more thing about the conference I should have said. So the conference is being held in Appalachia. We are not giving the exact location, even the state, to anyone who doesn't sign up. You have until February 8th to get your money back for signing up. So if you want to know where it is because you think that some parts of Appalachia are doable and others are not, and that's okay if that's the case, then you should sign up and request your money back if you find out the location's too far. We're keeping it on a need-to-know basis. We do that for everything in this organization. You know, when we plan like an activism event, the Airbnb for that location is only in a server for people who are going to that event. It might seem like too much OPSEC, right? But there's not really too much, unless it actually hinders your operations, but that's not the case for us. So what we need is, what I need for you guys is to, I'm not mad at anyone who's asked because you didn't know, but please refrain from asking. If you want to find out, just go to LOPF_2019 Discord channel in this server and fill out, you know, go through that way. You can get your money back before the 8th if you sign up, but it's going to be great. Also, if once you find out, don't tell anyone. And if you see someone asking about where the conference is, please let them know that they shouldn't do it, and let me know too, because you know, if hypothetically an infiltrator got in and he wanted to, you know, screw thing, you know, maybe he wouldn't want to pay, and but he would want to know where the location is. So just keep in mind, we have to be very very good with our OPSEC. By the way, welcome back, Deus Volts. He was a member who did quite a bit for us. Great guy back in the day. Well, it was back in 2017. It's not too long ago. But he had, I would say, a legitimate concern, a legitimate grievance with someone in, who was formerly in IE leadership, somebody who's not part of the organization anymore. But anyways, he I believe he reached out to me. I can't remember if maybe I reached out to him. But and so now he's back in. So welcome back, Deus Volt. Glad to have you. Dixie Boy says, at work, can't ask questions. My apologies. Nothing to apologize for, my friend. Great job, Patrick. Thank you. Glad to have you, Dixie Boy. Yeah, there's no fee for Defend Utah. I'm guessing lodging is something that you'll have to pay for. But it's usually, you know, when we rent a large Airbnb for two nights, it's generally, I don't know what the lodging situation is. So if there's no Airbnb, I apologize. But it's generally, you know, I think most people pay between 25 and 50. You know, now are you going to get a room to yourself? Not necessarily. Yeah, quite often you do. You know, at Defend, at the Chicago event, this was a bit of an odd happenstance. I ended up sleeping on a couch at a member's house, and Matt, my right-hand man, ended up with the master suite at the Chicago Airbnb. It's funny because I was sleeping on, you know, a fairly nice leather couch at another member's place. And I was like, oh man, I wonder, I bet Matt's probably sleeping on the floor over there, poor guy. And he shows up the next day. He's like, yeah, I've got the master suite. And I was like, oh, wow. But anyways, yeah, it's you guys should try to come out to these if you can. It's a great time. Excellent. Velasquez, how many people have signed up for Defend Utah? Twenty-four. Good. Let's see. Hopefully we can get that to 30. But yeah, you guys should come to at the absolute minimum. The event to go to is, like, if you're strapped for cash, go to the conference in March. That's the biggest event of the year for us. It was last year. And guys, until you're surrounded by hundreds of people of the same organization, you're not going to really have the full experience. I talked to someone that weekend who was like, he told me that was the best weekend of his life. And I was thinking about that. I was like, this is up there for me too. Like, it's just such a good time. And you don't know it until you're there. Yeah, going to Amran is great because you're like, you know, oh, everyone here is kind of on the same page and so forth. But when you're in IE, it's like, no, we're part of the same fraternity. We're part of the same club. Like, these people know people in my chapter. And that's why the nationwide model is so great. You travel, you can, you know, say you're visiting your mom in Toledo or something, right? Well, guess what? We probably have members there you can meet up and grab a beer with, and you know, you've got an 8-hour layover. Someone can come hang out with you at the airport, perhaps. You know, it's the nationwide network is really what makes this organization great. But anyways, I think we've kind of hit the wall, so to speak, on questions. So again, I would like to give you guys a call to action. Get involved. Go to your coordinator. Find a way that you can contribute to the cause, because our enemies work tirelessly. You know, we make fun of the soy boys, we make fun of the trainees and the weird lesbians and whatever, but guess what? They're out there putting the work in, so we need to put in the work too. Take this seriously. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you. Welcome to Identity Europa, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.